Kristen. I'm here to kick off another episode of Barrel to Bottle, the Binnie's podcast. I'm here with my co-host.
Hey, I'm Roger Adamson. I do beer marketing and education here for Binnie's.
Awesome. And?
Greg Versch. I do communications here at Binnie's.
Who are you?
Pat Brophy. Spirits everything.
Binnie's, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And we've got a guest host with us.
Hi, I'm Joe Maloney, also with Spirits Everything.
Well, you're from Kentucky, so we at least have some street cred with one person from the homeland.
So what are we tasting today?
We're going to go through some collectible bourbons and kind of taste them out. We know that these are bourbons that excite people, get people kind of riled up.
That's right, folks. We're tasting Pappy.
Oh, my God.
Could that have been any lower of energy? You're asleep.
These are some of the most exciting and sought-after expressions of bourbon that the country produces, and so we're here to taste them through and talk about them, see if they're really worth the hype.
Yeah, it should be interesting. We've got quite the collection of high-end bottles here in front of us. Thankfully, we're in a position where suppliers give us sample bottles of things sometimes, so we have the opportunity to taste these. Obviously, these are hard to get. You can't always get them at a Binnie's near you. By all means, talk to your local store manager at your local Binnie's about trying to get some of this stuff. But your best option a lot of times is heading out to one of the larger bourbon bars in the area, whether that's something like a Delilah's in the city or something like a Niche out in the western suburbs.
Twisted Spoke has some good stuff, too.
Where they have these huge whiskey lists and you can actually at least try this stuff by
the pour.
We're going to start here with something that used to just sit around all the time. Not that, yes, we could say that about a lot of different things, but used to be cheap, used to sit around, Old Forester birthday bourbon. This is the 2018 release. As always, this is a 12-year-old bourbon, and it is bottled at 101 proof.
What a delight. Pat, how much does this retail when it's available? 120 this year,
I believe this went up to 120 now.
So it's released on September 2nd every year because it commemorates the birthday of, what, George Garvin Brown? Does it go on sale September 2nd, or it's just released from the producer?
It gets released from the producer or at their...
Or September 2nd.
At their visitor facility, things like that.
Okay.
On September 2nd. We usually don't see it until like a month later.
Can we talk about what I paid for each of these bottles when I first bought them?
$34.99?
Yeah, this used to... $34.99.
This was, for years, this was a $35 bottle, and then it crept up to $50, and then $70, and then $100, and...
Postage stamps used to be 23 cents.
Exactly. This is what premium bourbon costs now, you know?
Speaking of rum, it does kind of have a nose of rum.
It definitely has that kind of tropical fruit, Old Forester character. So a lot of people are gonna associate this tropical kind of banana character with Old Forester.
Yep.
This is, you can smell this blind and definitely tell it's Old Forester.
Yeah, passion fruit. There's a little bit of an acetone overtone. It's just at the top of the glass. So what do you guys think about this?
Very fruity.
I think it's a damn fine bourbon. I don't know that this is a $120 bourbon.
It's quite spirited.
We're going to be tasting a lot of higher proof stuff today, too, though. I like that it's got a spice to it, but it's not overly oaky at all. And for a 12-year-old bourbon, this is particularly vibrant. It's a very good whiskey.
It's pretty lean. Yeah. But balanced.
Cloves and bananas.
It's interesting.
I get a lot of peach.
I don't know that I've tasted a bourbon like this in a long time. It's very interesting, very different.
It kind of has a sour note at the finish, too.
Maybe sour cherry.
Yeah.
Nice layers of flavor. Mm. Well constructed.
All right, cool. Pretty good one. So did this pass the hype test, Kristen?
Not for me.
No?
Not for me. Mm. It's not bad. I don't think it's a bad whiskey at all, but I just don't think that this is worth knocking.
Worth the hunt?
Yeah. No. Mm-mm.
I think this reminds me a little bit of some of the really old expressions of Elijah Craig that are a little leaner and fruit forward, like 23. So if you're into those, I think you'd dig this. And then comparatively price-wise, 100 doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah.
Right, right.
For how much they're getting for those old Elijahs now, geez. So next up here is Eagle Rare 17-year-old. It's the 2018 release. Worth noting that this year was the first year they have now bumped the proof from 90 to 101. Eagle Rare was famously a 101 proof brand back in the day. So it's kind of cool that they're going back to the brand's historical roots here. So 17 years old is really old for a bourbon. The, you know, most bourbon does not age gracefully enough to be bottled at 17 years old. So I'm curious to see what you guys think about this one.
I think it's a leaner style, but it has more of that baking spice, cakey vanilla that I personally gravitate towards. And I think it's it definitely lends through to the finish.
It's the rye heavy Buffalo Trace mash bill. So it is, you know, I think the rye is showing its head more here than it does on the 10-year-old personally.
But you know what, these older bourbons, how sometimes they can just finish very woody and grainy. This doesn't. I think that the core of the fruit carries through for a while.
I beg to differ.
Think it's woody?
Yeah. This is, than previous expressions, this seems oakier to me this year. Mm. I mean, it should be noted these are all essentially extremely small batch releases where they're very transparent at Buffalo Trace. They'll tell you exactly how many barrels were pulled. So again, this might have some similarities from year to year, but it's by no means going to be 100% consistent.
Right, right.
Plus you're obviously, as Pat just pointed out, less dilution this year.
Okay.
I really like the oak in this particular
bottling. It's interesting.
Because it doesn't really detract from the fruit that is there, I think. And it kind of adds to the overall depth of character and really shows off some of the pluses you can get from a longer-aged bourbon as opposed to a younger one.
Yeah.
All right, so a couple quick facts on this, because Eagle Rare is so transparent, as Roger was saying. This was distilled in the spring of 2000, bottled in the summer of 2018. It was 135 proof off the still, went into the barrel at 125 proof, aged in warehouse C on the first, second, and fifth floor, and they, out of this total batch, lost 89.5% of the liquid to the evaporation.
They lost 90% of the
90% of the liquid was lost to evaporation because it is 18 years and 4 months old at bottling. It says 17 on the bottle because the brand they release every year is 17 years old. They will pick barrels that fit that label more than that age, more than, you know. There was only 45 barrels dumped, and so that is a 10% yield.
Tiny amount of spirit.
Yeah. So that means you're looking at about like 25 bottles per barrel.
Ludicrous.
So what's the verdict here? Hype-worthy?
Hype-worthy. What do you think, Roger?
Yeah, for sure.
Greg, you were giving it some odd looks. Do you think it's too woody?
I don't think it has as much hype as some of the others in the collection. There's a difference between price and hype. For the price, it's a steal. For the hype, I don't know.
Yeah. Worth a hunt, Joe?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think this actually was the hardest one to find this year.
It was. It was, we got next to nothing on it. So.
The extra proof, I think, really added to what I think about this bourbon. This is probably my favorite Eagle Rare 17 that I've ever had.
I've had Eagle Rare 17 before, and I've always found it to be pretty like flat and boring and maybe even a touch flabby.
I totally disagree.
And this is much more, I think the higher proof really gives it better structure and layers, I think.
The oak comes through more now, which so if that's what you're looking for, you'll like it better. So I think with you guys in particular, because you're so seasoned at trying millions of bourbons, it probably is more appealing.
Up next, a favorite brand of Roger and cranky old men like Roger everywhere, Wild Turkey. Not just any Wild Turkey. This is Wild Turkey Master's Keep Revival. This is the new Master's Keep release this year. All right, so the Master's Keep Revival this year is a Oloroso Sherry finish.
All right,
Last year, we had Master's Keep Decades, which was a great bottle. No one wanted it. Then it won then it was placed in the top 10 for Whiskey Advocate or something. And then all of a sudden overnight, everybody had to have this bottle. And we were selling it on like closeout sale for like $100, which was great. We made a lot of people really happy. But where were all those people for like the 8 months before when we had piles of this stuff? Thankfully, we have a great relationship with Wild Turkey. We got a healthy allocation of their their limited releases. So we can offer this at, you know, pretty much every store in a decent quantity. You just got to go out there and get it. I mean, it's available.
So I will now launch into my Wild Turkey diatribe. People ignore Wild Turkey because when they're in college, The three most common whiskeys that they see in a bar are Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, and Wild Turkey. And they're in college, so they're doing shots of room temperature whiskey. Jack Daniels is 80 proof, and it's filtered before it even goes into barrels, so it's a very mild whiskey. Jim Beam is 80 proof, the minimum. And then in flies the Wild Turkey at 101, specifically designed to be a beautiful bourbon to drink with a little bit of ice in your glass. You rip a shot of it at room temperature, and of course, it tastes like fire. And all of a sudden, everyone thinks Wild Turkey is crappy whiskey, when, ironically, it is the best whiskey on the table. So, please give Wild Turkey and the extensive line of Wild Turkey bourbons a try, because they are, I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, some of the best bourbons on the shelf.
Yeah, Wild Turkey, you know, should get more attention than it does. It is known for being a leaner, more spice-forward bourbon, which, you know, some people like real fat, sweet.
Are they rye heavy stuff. Then?
Well, this is a leaner, spice-forward bourbon that we're trying right now, and yeah, they are, right?
Yeah.
Rye heavy.
Rye heavy for bourbon still isn't that, like, particularly rye heavy, though. It's not like Four Roses rye heavy.
Some of it literally, again, another just to dispel here, like, I enjoy drinking bourbon for the most part with a little bit of ice, but I don't drink typically 80 proof bourbons. I'm drinking bourbons that are usually 100 proof or around there. So don't by any means think that you can't put a little teeny bit of water or some ice in your bourbon. I mean, especially with these cask strength releases, I can't tell you how many times I'll be at an event where people are given a sample of something and they just are pouring down this cask strength bourbon and just choking because it's just burning their esophagus because it's 140 proof. It's not the idea that you should be drinking 140 proof whiskey with nothing in it.
So this Wild Turkey, though, is this is a gorgeous whiskey, man. I like the dried fruit that the sherry cask has brought to it. I really think it adds a little layer to, I think, what is otherwise a fairly lean Wild
Turkey. It's a pretty lean bourbon overall. Mm-hmm.
It's delicious. Worth the hype.
Oh, it's definitely worth the hype. Yeah, it's nice, well-rounded.
That amount of hype is it's on shelves and is $80-ish.
No, it's like $180.
Yeah.
No, you don't like it?
It's hard for him to justify 200 bones
can't,
for it.
I can't.
Yeah. 200, that's a lot. It's a lot of money. Yeah. But you know what? Again, if you're talking about collectible limited release bourbons, this is really good liquid and it's not an insane price.
There's balance and grace to that last bourbon that isn't as easily identifiable in some very high priced bourbons.
And I just think the core of the finish just goes on forever and ever. Like, I still taste it. It's great.
So, moving on from that, excellent, excellent Wild Turkey is another bottle that might still be lingering around at a few Binny's locations. It's sold out at some, is Angel's Envy Cask Strength. So every year, Angel's Envy does a cask strength release. This was the 2018 release. The big thing with these is it's made of older bourbons that have seen longer finishing periods in their signature port barrels. So we went from the sherry-finished Wild Turkey. I figured it's a good time to transition to this port-finished Angel's Envy. This is a little higher proof. I want to say it's 124 or so. You want to look at that bottle for me, Joe?
Well, how about that? Pat Brophy, as usual, is right on. It's 124 proof.
And I think this, so I've had a couple different years of this. I think this is the best it has ever tasted. You know, when it was first released, it was pretty expensive back then for a limited release bourbon. I tried it. I liked it. I didn't love it. I think it's gotten better every single year. And I thought this year was just an absolute knockout. What do you guys think about this cask strength release? I love it.
How much do you think the bottle was?
This is another one that's like $180.
Very cinnamon, clove, baking spice forward exactly. On this one.
This one is so gloppy and overblown, and that's why I like Angel's Envy. And maybe they dialed back some of that on their regular release, but this has it.
I've never really been the biggest fan of Angel's Envy. I don't hate it, but I don't dislike it, but it's not one that I'm like, ooh, ever about. Yeah.
So what do you think of this one?
I'm trying to get over the baking spice, but I love the mouthfeel. I love the mouthfeel. I feel like it's really, it's good.
This just lit me up. Hype worthy.
Totally. Like, this is another one where, like, when I first tried it, I didn't, because it was overpriced, and frankly, it's overpackaged. Yeah. I was like, this is going to be a bunch of crap. And I gave it a chance. I think it's gorgeous.
One-dimensional.
You know what? They're delivering what they're promising. It's not supposed to be a classy streamlined.
It's all you taste is clove and cinnamon.
Saying it's worth the hype.
There definitely is some butterscotch in there too.
So I think it's worth the hype just because I like the round, unctuous mouthfeel. A lot of these, especially woody and older bourbons, can get very lean, very almost steely, woody and whatnot. I like how round and rich this is, and it's super intensely flavored. Like, a little goes a long way. You don't need more than like a teaspoon to sip on in your mouth at a time, and your mouth is just like full of flavor.
Slam dunk. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, nice chewy fruit. There's a surprising nutty flavor to me in the middle there.
Spice bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like it for the reason that you don't.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
All right, we're going to keep this cast strength train rolling. From the personal stash today, I brought the Four Roses limited release single barrel from 2014 in. So in 2014, this was a 11-year-old OESF recipe. So this was in 2014, the limited release cask strength single barrel was an 11-year-old OESF. OESF meaning it is the lower rye content recipe with the minty and herbal yeast. That yeast is the yeast they use in the cold weather months, as it's their one of their five yeast strains that kickstarts fermentation when it's really cold.
E is the yeast?
E is the mash bill, F is the yeast.
F's the yeast, okay.
So
O is the distillery.
O is the distillery, and S means it's a straight bourbon.
That is a tasty bourbon, Pat.
That is.
Why do you still have this bourbon if it's this old?
How is the question?
No, I have a lot of different old bottles of bourbon. So that when people come, you've probably had that before, Roger. Like, I bring that bottle out when people come by.
Okay. So, can you talk a little bit about, this has been open for 3 or 4 years. You know, what can people expect from keeping open bottles of bourbon on their shelf?
So this bottle has been open for several years, and it is not full. I mean, it's got maybe, a quarter of the bottle left or something?
Did, yeah.
So it did. Yeah. It did. Yeah. And bourbon and whiskey, distilled spirits, oxidize same as anything else, like beer or wine, but much more slowly.
Yes.
So this might get a little softer in body, little softer, sweeter in flavor.
But like less vibrant? Is it just going to be?
Yeah. I don't think that's happened with this yet here. Okay. Tasting it now.
Okay.
And having tasted this bottle multiple times over the past few years.
Roger, what's your experience with keeping bottles for several years open?
I think that's an exaggerated thing.
Okay.
I mean, I've tried open whiskeys that have been open for literally 40 years.
And so love them.
Those show oxidation, but I think right now I have a tendency to keep like a little bit in bottles, like Pat is saying, just to be able to go back and remember it. It's very slightly discernible. And I think for the average person that doesn't do this for a living, I don't know that you're going to be able to perceive. Right.
Joe and I have a lot of experience with this, and we've had a lot of bottles open in our office for a lot of years now, and some have gone bad, and some get, when they're bad, they're going to get kind of a bitterness to them,
right?
And they're going to get a flabby body and a little bit of a bitter finish, and then if they ever start getting cloudy, then it's bad. And it's safe to taste, but it's going to taste like crap. So you never want to let something get to, oxidized to the point where it gets a bit cloudy.
Yeah,
but we've had a lot of bottles over the years that have gone bad because they've been open for so long with so little in them. Sample bottles we've used with staff trainings, things like that.
Well, they just lose all the vibrancy that you get from.
But again, like what are you talking about? Give the listeners a sense of like how long.
15 years.
Yeah, we're talking open for 15 years with not a lot of liquid left in the bottle. So considering this has been open for 3 or 4 years with not a lot of lift. Yeah, this is totally fine. Like, this tastes just as good as the day I opened
it. Smells pretty vibrant. I don't notice any, obvious disintegration.
I agree.
This is great bourbon. I don't know.
Now, here's the thing, though. Like, this is a great bottle, and the limited release Four Roses, whether it's small batch or single barrel, are always great. There is not a lot separating this from Binny's hand-picked cast strength Four Roses. We have several 11-year-old single-barrel full-proof Four Roses coming over the course of the next 5 months, including
OESF,
including at least one OESF.
And those are around $80?
And those are around $80, yeah. They're going to, unfortunately, they did take a price increase, and they're $80.
Worth the hype.
Yeah, totally worth the hype. So
Worth the hype, Roger?
We're talking about...
Well, big time.
This was an EF. This was an 11-year-old EF. We have a 9-year, 10-month-old EF getting bottled as a Binny's handpick in April.
Wow.
These also, for people that are really interested in the difference that mash bills and yeast can make, you really don't have this kind of opportunity you do with Four Roses and other brands.
You're right. Yep.
It's really a unique thing worth calling out. I know you guys discussed it a little bit briefly before, but check out their website and read through the process. They essentially have 10 different recipes. And
talk about transparency.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Ooh, so
what do we have here?
We saved the most hyped for last. We have this is Face Pappy 15. This is Pappy Van Winkle 15-year-old. This is a 15-year-old 107 proof wheated bourbon made and aged and bottled at the Buffalo Trace Distillery in Frankfort, Kentucky.
Is this an old one or a new one?
This is a new one.
This is a new one.
Cuz it's got the red as opposed to the black foil up top.
This one we opened last year.
So it's 2018?
This would have been a 2017 release. We have everybody's most requested limited release bourbon, Pappy Van Winkle. I think part of this bourbon now and its mystique around it is that, you know, people want to have the bottle on the shelf, want to gift the bottle. You know, this has become a label first, taste second bourbon, I say. It is a great tasting whiskey, but, you know, for all the different things that can be hunted down on the bourbon side, this is going to be the toughest, and I don't know that it's definitely the most rewarding dram for the seasoned bourbon aficionado, but I'd like to hear what you guys say about that.
All right, how much does it cost, first of all?
Pappy Van Winkle, 15-year-old, now costs, I believe, $120.
So that's still holding steady. But based on the hype.
Pretty fair price.
That's a pretty fair price. Do you even consider that?
Is it up? Well,
I got to think the price is going up.
The rye is
$150.
I think the rye is more expensive than the 15.
I wish you had brought an older expression so it would be easier to just go, not worth
the hype. Funny you should mention that. There is a very old expression in that box, Pat.
I got a surprise bourbon for you here, so why don't you give me what you actually feel about this first.
I like the 15 a lot. But
we're going to do something blind for you, Roger. Okay. You're going to love this.
By older expression, Roger, you wanted to try a 20 or a 23?
Yeah.
Not worth your time.
That's what I mean. I'm just saying I've had both of those and I don't care for them because I think they're over-oaked.
Yes, I definitely think the 23 is over-oaked. I do like the 20. The 20 is one of those great whiskeys where you can give it to someone who's hated every whiskey they've ever tried in their life and they're going to say, that's the smoothest thing I've ever had. But the bourbon nerd's going to be like, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, or conversely, I perceive the woodiness in it as almost like a earthy,
like a forest floor type of earthy?
No, Joel and I were talking about this. It reminds me of like beets. I can't get past it.
Yeah, that's really weird. All right, Van Winkle 15. It's 107 proof. People really love the 15 because it's 107 proof.
Worth the hype.
I would say buy a 10-year-old if you can find it at 107.
It's worth like getting crazy.
No,
over.
But for the retail price of $120, this is easily worth the hype.
Yeah, my point is compared to others in the same price category, it's worth the hype.
Yeah.
I think it is worth mentioning on this particular show that it's not worth the hype to the point that you go into the secondary market and risk buying bottles at, this would be, I think, $1,200 or much it is.
That could be fake. There's a lot of fake bottles out there on the secondary market now.
It's also worth pointing out that this bottle is going to stand out from almost everything else here because it is wheated and it is low-lying and sweet and round mm-hmm. and fruity in a way that none of these other are because they're all spicy and firmer.
Well, you haven't tasted the mystery whiskey.
Oh, yet. The mystery whiskey.
We do have a mystery whiskey. And then we should talk about the wheated bourbon a little bit here, too, right?
Are you just going to whip it out? Out the mystery whiskey?
Yeah, the thing I like about the wheated bourbon for me now, too, is the fact that the corn really gets to shine through. So the sweetness is there, and I think it does really, really well around 15 years old. But you're right, Roger. When you start getting into 20, 23-year-old, they're good, but you really do have to like that earthy wood oak flavor, which some people do.
Some people love oak-forward whiskeys. I mean, love what you love. I just think there's a bit more to be found in some more younger, vibrant flavors.
It's fun to compare the Eagle Rare that we had to start off the show with, the 17 versus this 15. That 17 showed a lot more oak than this 15 does, like a substantial amount.
When are there going to be more older wheated bourbons available?
In about 5 years. I would expect that in 5 to 7 years, we see a lot more Weller 12-year-old. But that's about the time we're waiting on. But then, I think, honestly, it's going to be an everyday thing, but we're still about 5 years off.
So this is super toffee, coffee, and acetone.
Mystery bourbon?
Yeah.
Eucalyptus and cherry?
Yes, that. Minty, right?
Luden's bourbon.
Pretty amazing bourbon. I've been kind of chomping at the bit to try this for a while now, so I'm curious to hear what all the super tasters in the room have to say about this.
That's a clue, everybody. It's something that Joe has wanted to try for a while.
Well, I have a desk.
We got this.
You do.
So, what do you think of this one, Roger?
It's interesting. It's very different. At the front end, I get some really nice fruity notes. The back end reminds me, it's like a little dusty. It reminds me of some like really older.
I think it definitely tastes dusty. It's got a bit of a musty basement-y thing.
There's a hardcore Oloroso sherry component to this. This is what I'm getting. Those aromas of like that pruny, caramel, dried fruit.
I get some orange peel.
Yeah, I get some orange peel too.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's a classic. The classic, delicious.
Paca's Heritage.
Is it Cabin still?
No. Close, though. Mm. This is a 1950 Weller Antique Reserve 110 proof, batch proof.
Wait, break that down. What does that mean?
This is 1950 Weller Antique Reserve bourbon.
1950 distilled?
I believe 1950 distilled.
Yeah. Antique Reserve. It is batch proof, which is 110 proof.
Cha-ching. Worth the hype.
It's great bourbon. I mean, it shows its age a little bit, but
it definitely shows the basement must, dusty thing. But it's holding up pretty damn well, though.
A bottle of that would buy a used car, too. So yeah, I mean, a bottle of that. I want to go deep in on that. That's like a $10,000, $12,000 bottle.
Yeah. So, listeners out there, if you got any Weller from the 1950s, you got a small, reasonably placed used Japanese car on your hands.
you got a 2014 Toyota Corolla. Anyway.
Automatic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, power windows, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted cool to have a Pappy tasting podcast, and they pulled out that.
Well, yeah. God, talk about can't get.
So remember, nerds, there's always something that you can't get.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Suck on that.
So, yeah, it's worthwhile tasting through these things you can't otherwise get. Again, we're in the fortunate position where we can get samples of stuff like this.
I think it's worth noting, though, that when we do get samples and we do taste it, we sit and we talk about it and we compare it to other, we don't just kind of like, we don't take it for granted as much as we can anyway.
When we get a sample of this, what usually happens is Joe will pour a glass on it and it'll sit on his desk for literally like 4-6 hours throughout the course of a day. And he goes back to it like every hour or so, smells it, maybe tastes a little, and just observes how it changes throughout the day with a little breathing time in it, which is something that if you're really interested in dissecting a high-end collectible whiskey, I really can't recommend enough that you listeners do as well.
Well, folks, that brings us to the Q&A portion of the Barrel to Bottle of the Bennies podcast. Write your questions to us at comments@bennies.com via email or hit us up on social media at Bennies Bev on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram for your chance at a $20 Bennies gift card. Our question today comes from Instagram. We got a question from this guy before, but it doesn't matter because it's another good question. At Tapperton asks, when will we reach peak bourbon bubble?
When craft brewery blows up, that's when we're going to hit this bubble. It's not going to happen.
We are still right now producing and consuming as a nation like 1/5 the amount of bourbon we were producing and consuming in the 1960s with a population size that's like triple.
Thanks, vodka.
So I think, yeah. So I think we're a long way off from having a saturated bourbon market. You're going to see some consolidation in the craft distilling tier. You know, because just not, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people are want, you know, 8-year-old bourbon and they want it 100 proof and they want to pay $15 for it. And
it's just
that's
not going to happen.
And well, that's not going to happen where the
narrative,
anymore.
Because in this question is where the narrative over the last 5 to 10 years has been everybody freak out because the bourbon's running out. Where's that coming from?
The bourbon's definitely, old bourbon was definitely running out. They're making more bourbon than they have in decades now. So wait a couple more years and you'll have plenty of old bourbon again.
So end of the story is it is a golden age for bourbon because there's more craft producers making better stuff and it's going to get better from here.
Yeah, and we're, there's a lot of great stuff out there. You know, it's tough finding these, you know, trophy bottles, but if you're looking for great tasting bourbon, your options haven't been
trust
this
your Binnie's
good in decades.
Spirit specialist at the stores because, I mean, they know that
we make it a point to make sure that the spirit specialists in our stores do taste through all these different things
or,
that we can get them to.
Or email spirits@bennies.com to get these guys at the Whiskey Hotline to answer your questions about all of the great bourbons that you're interested in discovering.
And I think, again, about the golden age of bourbon, we should highlight the fact that in Kentucky, all these major distilleries, for the most part, have recently doubled in their capacity.
Yeah.
So, you know, just wait a while because we're going to have a flood of bourbon and it's going to be good times.
Yep.
Thank you for writing your question to at Tapperton. Everybody else, for your chance at a $20 Bennies gift card, email us your question at comments@bennies.com or hit us up on social media at BenniesBev at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to us talk about these unobtainable things and know that there's a world of fabulous bourbon out there to try.
There is. You should try these unobtainable things. Again, there are several great bars around the area that stock them and can and do pour them at reasonable prices.
Well, that's the thing. What are you after? Are you after trying it and having the experience or just scoring the bottle? Because what if you don't even like it? You might not even like it.
Well, again, I mean, some of these bottles have become a function of having the trophy on the trophy
shelf. The chase is sometimes better than the price.
Yeah.
And I also think it's fair to point out that if you can't find these bottles, don't feel terrible about that because, honestly, there are some bourbons that are on the shelf at the moment that you can get that can hang out with these.
I mean, and we mentioned it earlier, but sincerely, the Binnie's picks, it seems like we're doing a commercial, but especially, you know, we tried that Four Roses. The Four Roses Binnie's picks are every single I've bought millions of them.
How about the 10 barrels of 14-year-old Knob Creek for $40? That was ridiculous.
Yeah. And we got 5 more coming this coming month.
So thanks for hanging out with us, the Barrel to Bottle crew. We'll be back in your stream with another episode coming up in a week. Until next time, I am Craig.
I am Kristen.
I'm Roger.
I'm Pat.
I'm Joe.
Keep tasting.
Now Roger's going to pour the turkey in the glass. He's putting. Just a little wide left, but it looks like he's made it in there. Here comes Kristen Ellis. She is, I think, 4 under for the day so far. Well, she's laughing. Ooh, that's a tough pour.
Yeah, that's not going to make for a study pad.